Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Colossians, chapter 3. Colossians, chapter 3. We'll read verses 22 through 25 together. Colossians 3, verses 22 through 25. We'll read this passage responsively. Colossians 3, 22 through 25. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord, and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. And let's pray. Father, it sure is good to be here in your house. It's good to come to a church where we know that your presence is going to be. We know that you're pleased with what happens here. And God, as we came and we see the smiles of your people and we're glad to be here, I just kind of believe you're glad to be here too. But Father, please fill our preacher with your power as he preaches to us. May we listen. May we receive what you have for us today. For you spent time with you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
Brother Bush read with you a passage of Scripture. We all read it together from Colossians chapter 3. Now, I'm going to take a verse from Colossians chapter 3, and it is one that this generation really does not understand well. The Bible says in Colossians 3:23, "And whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as unto the Lord, and not unto men." This morning's sermon is specifically to those of you that are born again, those of you that are saved. I wish that we could live Colossians 3:23. It says there, "And whatsoever you do." Now, listen, whatsoever you do, do it. God's saying, whatever you're going to do for me, those first couple of words, he said, do it. Do it. Some of you are always setting on the threshold of doing something, but you don't do it. Now, here the Bible says, it says, "And whatsoever you do, do it. Step out and do it. Don't you wait forever. You don't have forever. What makes you think you have tomorrow? A bunch of you have good intentions and you're eventually going to do something for God. But God said, and whatsoever you do, do it. Do it." And then it says, "Do it heartily." What's that mean? Put your heart into it. Put your heart into it. It's talking about not being half-hearted, but be wholehearted for God. Now listen, if it were something that we were doing out in the world, I could see us being a bit half-hearted, though I would even disagree with that. But look, we're talking about whatsoever you do for God, do it. And do it heartily. Throw your heart into it if you're going to do it for God. And it says, "And whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord." Don't forget who you're serving. You're not serving an earthly king that will come and go and pass away. You're serving the King of Kings. He is the great I Am. He is the always, he always has been and always will be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. No wonder he said, "Do it. Do it. Do it with your whole heart as unto the Lord." And then it even says, "And not unto men." Look, when man does something for man, I'm sure it's a bit tainted. It is a bit weak. But look, we're doing what we do as unto the Lord, but not unto man. Look, every church in America would be successful if every church in America would do it. And if they would do it heartily. And if they would do it as unto the Lord. And if they'd stop doing it unto man. We're so worried about what man thinks. We're so worried about what other people think and other churches think. I love this verse. This verse just winds my clock. The Bible says, "And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto man." Boy, that's the answer for some of your laziness. And boy, that's the answer for lethargic churches. Hey, you know something? If we're going to have church around here, let's do it. We're going to have church around here. Let's do it heartily. If we're going to have church around here, I like this, let's do it as unto the Lord, and let's not do it as unto man. When I was growing up, my aunt, her name, we called her Annie. Annie Mendenhall, she's my aunt. She looked like a bowling ball with legs. Annie was a roly-poly gal, looked like the Pillsbury Dough Girl. She's a little short thing, and Annie raised a bulldog. She had bulldogs. She had a bulldog that she called Buttons. Buttons the bulldog. Boy, Buttons was special to me. I carry a picture of Buttons around in the front of my Bible with me. Buttons the bulldog was full of energy. I'm telling you, Buttons looked like a lotto ball bouncing all over the place all the time. You say, what do you know about lotto? I asked Brother Young. He knows all about lotto ball. But old Buttons the Bulldog was down at Annie's house. And when I'd go visit Aunt Annie, boy, that bulldog, I could throw a ball. And Buttons was crazy. I think Buttons was on a permanent caffeine high. Well, you'd throw that ball, and Buttons would run in circles, round and around and around, until she would find that ball, and she'd grab it. And she had like this built-in sonar or radar. I mean, around in circles out toward that ball, she'd get right to where that ball was, and she'd snap onto that ball, pick it up, and she'd do her circles and come all the way back to me. Buttons was crazy. Now, Buttons had a shoe, and that shoe belonged to Buttons, much like this shoe that I've got right here. She had a shoe. It was her shoe. Now, that ball and the shoe, they were different. Now, the ball, that was a people toy. She let people play with her ball. You could play with Buttons' ball, and she would play with you with the ball. Now, but the shoe, totally different. That was Buttons' shoe. Now, the ball, that was a people toy. The shoe, that was Buttons' toy, and you weren't supposed to play with her shoe. Now, she only had one shoe. You say, where's the other one? I don't know. You say, where'd she get the shoe? I think she ate somebody and kept the shoe. She might have eaten the postman, or I don't know. But she only had one shoe. See, I think what happened is, it's much like you and I. We shoot a deer, and then we mount it as a trophy. Buttons ate a person and kept the shoe as a trophy. Boy, that shoe was important to her. Once she'd sink her teeth into that shoe, she would not let go. I mean, once old Buttons got those jowls clamped onto that shoe, you could not get that thing out of her mouth. I would go to Aunt Annie's house, I'd walk over there and I'd grab a hold of that shoe. And old Buttons, she'd clamp down with her teeth, and I would grab it, I could pull her. I could grab that bulldog, and I could pull her. She's like a bulldozer. Those puffy little legs, she's always trying to wiggle backwards and pull backwards, and I'm pulling on that shoe. I could pull her into the grass, and like a bulldozer, we would actually scoop up dirt as Buttons was fighting, trying to get that shoe away from me. She wouldn't take a breath. She's afraid if she took a breath that she'd lose her grip. And so she's snorting and breathing, trying to hang on to that shoe. I knew if she opened her mouth, I could yank and run. And she knew if she opened her mouth, I would yank and run. So she would breathe out of the side of her mouth. It's almost like, you know, she had those great big jowls and the little ports on the side there. And she would breathe out of the side of her mouth. But she wouldn't let go of that shoe. And so my thinking was, I'll wait until she takes a breath or she barks or swallows and I'll pull and run. But she couldn't do it. Yeah, and you could almost read what Buttons was saying. I'd be there and I'd be trying to pull that shoe out of Buttons' old off mouth, and she's hanging on, and you can almost read her mind. She's got her teeth clamped around that thing, and she's saying, that's my shoe. Hey, my shoe. Get out of here. Get your own shoe, you stupid human. That's my shoe. Go eat your own person and get you a shoe. That's my shoe. You can't have my shoe. Go play with the ball, human. Go play with the ball. Go play with the ball. But you can't have my shoe. I can pull Buttons around. I could pull her through the yard. She just hang on that shoe. She would not let go of that shoe. I pulled her out onto the driveway one day. I thought, this will get her. I'll drag her across the driveway. So I started pulling her across the driveway. You could see great big claw marks scratching across the driveway. You could see them. I'm not letting go of my shoe. I thought one day, I'll teach her. I'll pull her through the gravel. So I took her over the gravel, started pulling along. Sure enough, she just started digging up gravel. Now, she made some funny noises while I was pulling her through the gravel.
But she hung on to that shoe. We'd get her going around in circles and old buttons. She'd shift her feet and go around like this, but she'd not let go of that shoe. She wouldn't let go. One day, I grabbed a hold of that shoe with both hands. And I thought, I'll get buttons. I got her going. We got her going around in circles. We started out at ground level with like a helicopter. I got her going fast enough. I got her up in the air. You got this Wonder Doll. The whole four, legs and arms, they're flapping. And those jaws are clamped around that shoe. I got her airborne. We're going like this. Hey, it looked like a sprinkler. Button slobbered. And I'm not talking a little slobber. You know that real thick, nasty slobber. And boy, I got buttons going around and you can see this sprinkling system as slobber's running off her face. She's going around in the air. She won't let go of the shoe. I'll tell you, I let go of her. She hit the ground. And grabbed on that shoe even tighter. She wouldn't let go of that shoe. She wouldn't let go. I walked away, went in and visited with Aunt Annie for a little while. And I thought, I'll go out in a little while and see if I get button shoe. I stepped out on the front porch. She was backed into a corner. She had that shoe in her mouth going. She knew as long as my car was there, she was not letting go of that shoe. That was her shoe. She knew that somebody was intruding on her territory and somebody wanted her shoe and I couldn't have her shoe. She watched me everywhere I'd walk. I'm telling you, she was a bulldog. That's all there is to it. And another family member that had a bulldog, they named him General Doug. General Doug, it wasn't a shoe, it was a stick. And I think someone took my stick. And so this bulldog had its own stick. And it was really what it was, I think it was an old handle off of a shovel or something. And that bulldog walked around with that stick in its mouth. Everywhere it went, walked around, had its stick. I watched two grown men take that stick, one grabbed a hold of one end, one grabbed a hold of the other, and they picked General Doug up. He had a hold of that stick, looked like a stack of potatoes hanging on a clothesline. They walked over to where there were two trees, both had a Y joint in them, put that stick on that Y joint, and they were swinging that dog. He wouldn't let go of that stick. He wouldn't. You know something? That bulldog has something that this generation of Christians do not have. There's something wrong today. Why don't we grab hold of the things of God and hang on for dear life? What's wrong with us? We need some Christians that will sink their teeth into something and not let go. We live in a generation of weak-kneed quitters. We live in a generation of softies. We live in a generation that try to figure out how to do it the easy way, and they're afraid to do it the hard way, and that's why there is limited success in this generation. You know what you need? You need to get some bulldog about you. Some bulldog. We need to get some bulldog Christianity. And if you're a woman, maybe you need to become a bulldogette. Be a bulldogette. Hey, why don't some of you decide, I will never, never, never give up on God. I will never, never, never give up in my service to God. Sink your teeth into some things for God and don't give up. You know, I believe this. I believe most people that come to this church, you come here and you want to do right. But there are some of you, you're not doing the right that you could do, and I'm going to tell you why. Because you piddle. Hey, if you want to do right, let me tell you what you're going to have to do. You're going to have to sink your teeth into that right. You're going to have to say, I'm grabbing hold, and you're not going to shake me. The devil's not going to shake me. I don't care what comes my way. I'm going to get a hold of that shoe, and I'm not letting go of that shoe. I'm serving God. Doesn't matter what it costs me. Doesn't matter what it takes. Doesn't matter how hard it is. I'm serving God. We need that. We need that. I'm not talking about, a little let's get right with God moment. I'm talking about you getting serious, you looking this thing right square in the eye and say, you know what? I need to become like that old bulldog. I need to decide I'll sink my teeth into serving God and not let anything pull that out of my mouth. And believe me, about the time you grab a hold, the devil's going to come along. He's going to grab that thing and jerk you around a little bit. He said, oh Lord, I've been trying so hard to serve God, but difficulties are coming my way. That's a good sign. That means the devil's grabbed a shoe and he's trying to twist you around. He's trying to shake you off. He's trying to get you to quit. Hey, take a little lesson from Buttons. Don't let go. Don't you let go. You hang on and you hang in there. For instance, I believe this. I think like the bulldog, some of you need to sink your teeth into overcoming some of your character flaws. You need to overcome some of your character flaws. You have struggled with some of the same character flaws over and over and over and over again. Now, I am not your father, but I am your pastor, and I love you, and I want you to have a successful life, and some of you just need someone to say to you, it's time for you to get serious and conquer some of those piddly little, I'm not talking about sins now, I'm talking about those character flaws that keep you from doing something for God. I'm talking about things like, say, it's time for some of you to, you need to learn to finish what you start. You need to stop starting things and not finishing them. You started something, learn to finish it. That's just good character. You need to learn to be on time. And that's just good character. You need to learn to keep your word. That's just good character. You know something? Some of you were bulldogs for the devil. You were. You're a bulldog for the devil. You were the partier, and you party hardy. I mean, you were wild. You went out and, hey, whatever the devil was doing and whatever's going on with the devil, you were in there, and man, you were the party animal, and you were running with the devil, and you were successful with the devil. You got saved. You came into the church. You plunked it down in the pew, and you've been sitting there watching ever since. Hey, it's not right that you were a bulldog for the devil, but you're a Pekingese for Jesus. It's time for some of you that gave your life to the devil to decide, I'm going to give God the rest of me, and for the rest of my life, I'll step up and make something happen for God. You've got the potential. You could do it. You can do it. Here's some of you. You used to be a bulldog on the ball court. Let me ask you a question. When was the last time you did anything great for God? You've got the ability.
Yeah.
There's some people in here you need to sink your teeth into the things of God and fix some of your character flaws. You'd get more done if some of you just learned to live by schedule. If you could control your appetites. We live in a generation of Christians that let their body tell them what they're going to do. You better learn to let the Bible tell you what you're going to do. You better learn to let a spiritual mind tell you what you're going to do. But your body's appetites will get you pregnant out of wedlock. Your body's appetites will eat you into a coma. You better learn to control yourself by the Word of God and the Spirit of God. And it is time for some Christians to sink their teeth into some of their character flaws and fix them. Some of you are not doing your best at making just your general everyday life good because you won't sink your teeth into it. What I'm talking about, some of you need to decide, I'm getting serious. I'm growing up, I'm getting serious, and I'm going to attack some of my character flaws. Secondly, I think you, like a bulldog, got to sink your teeth into getting into the right crowd. And staying in the right crowd. You know, if you run with the pigs, you're going to smell like them. Did you know that you don't find sheep playing with wolves? Sheep don't play with wolves. But you're one of God's sheep. You spend your time with the wolves of the world. Some of you need to stand up to your friends. What am I talking about? You need to sink your teeth in to the Bible doctrine of come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Some of you have to say to your friends, I love you, but I can't spend time with you anymore because you don't love God. You're not faithful to church. You're uninterested in spiritual things. Now, it's going to take a bulldog for some of you. I can remember when I had to say that some of my old friends were not alike anymore and I have to separate. You're going to have to sink your teeth into that. Hey, even if you must walk alone. Some of you go to our Christian school. You won't find a Christian school in America where there's not at least some little bad crowd. maybe a little bad crowd. I think in our school we have a very little bad crowd, but we have it. We have the ones that are the mockers and the scorners and the ones that are breaking all the rules. It's time for those of you in the Christian school, I don't want you to be rude to those, I don't want you to be mean to them, but it's time for you to stop laughing at their jokes and saying, that's okay. Sink your teeth into the separation from the world and separation from wrong friends and mean it. Here's what saddens me. He saddens me. And who in the world am I? I'm only 46 years old. I told Dr. Russell Anderson last night as he and I were talking, I love being around him because he's 76. He's 30 years older than me, and thank you, Dr. Anderson. I love being around an older man that still believes the old-time way because I'm really tired of being a 46-year-old man doing what some of you older people ought to be doing. Why should a 46-year-old man be the one that throws a fit about the old-time way? The old-time fellas ought to be throwing a fit about the old-time way. But I'll tell you something. Hey, some of you are so weak. You're so insecure. You are destroying yourself because you will not stand up to some friends. You won't say, I won't do that. So you get yourself in a crowd and you're ruining yourself, and I say to you, you need to get some bulldog about you, grab a hold of this thing of separating from the wrong friends, and don't let go of it. You tried once and you separated for a while, but you're right back with them. You ought to run from bad friends like a dog runs from fleas. Get some bulldog about you. Become a bulldog. Become a bulldog. You need to be a bulldog about overcoming your character flaws. You need to become a bulldog about getting into the right crowd and out of the wrong crowd. You need to be a bulldog about sinking your teeth into building your business. Hey, let me tell you, every one of you businessmen, we got a lot of businessmen here, and I'm glad of that. Let me tell you all something. This is still America. This is still the land of opportunity. Boy, I'll tell you something. I'll tell you this. If I were not in the ministry, I would go out and build a business. I build a big business. You say, you're cocky. Well, I'm confident. I'm confident that if you'll do what that book says, and you'll get up early, and you'll stay up late, and you'll work hard, you can still build a business in this day and age. I believe that. You build it with God. You build it for God. Hey, here's what you do. You take your business, you hand it to God, and say, God, this is now your business, and you give me the instructions, and I will manage it. But you want to manage it so it's half successful, and you don't get God's help. If I were you, there's some of you men, you know what we need? We do need some businessmen that love God, that believe the old-time way, that believe in bus routes. We need some of that. Hey, we need some men that believe the old-time way, that are bus captains. I thank God. I look down here, Brother Mike McLean, Brother Levi Hall, both of them are realtors. Both of them are bus captains. Thank God we've got some businessmen that are going out soul winning. And thank God I watched Brother Travis Bishop bringing converts in here, one after another, after another, after another. Another businessman. And I shouldn't have started naming them. But let me tell you something, folks. If you're going to be in business, and build a good one, and build a big one, and build it all the way, and do everything you can. Sink your teeth into it. Make something happen. What am I talking about? Get some bulldog about you. Get some bulldog about you. Stop being ashamed of who the real owner of your business is. Don't be ashamed to tell people, I belong to Jesus, and so does this business. You say, then what? Work. 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 Dig in. Don't wait for something to happen. Make it happen. Make it happen. Make it happen. You say, it's hard. Oh, it's hard. It's hard. Do you feel the compassion coming out of me right now? Okay. So life's tough. Get some bulldog about you. You sink your teeth into that thing, and you say, I'm going to make it go. I'm not talking about those of you that will build a business and then not show up for church. And then use all your money for you instead of letting the real owner decide what you do with some of it. God's a pretty good God. He'll give you some, and He'll let you have some depending on how you use it. Let your bulldog sink your teeth into that business. If you're going to be a businessman, be God's businessman. Like a bulldog, we need to sink our teeth into overcoming our character flaws. Like a bulldog, we need to sink our teeth into getting in the right crowd and staying out of the wrong crowd. Like a bulldog, we need to sink our teeth into building our business. And like a bulldog, some of you need to sink your teeth into building the ministry that God's given you. Stop piddling with the ministry God gave you. Stop dabbling. Let me tell those of you that only come to church on Sunday morning and that's it. You won't like this. But those people usually just dabble in their Christianity. They dabble. Time for somebody to get serious. Stop dabbling. Stop coming by and tipping God. Go ahead, drop in and see you for a second. This is God's house. We're supposed to get around here. He lives in us, but this is God's house. We're supposed to come around the house more often than that. You know, your kids are supposed to come home at night. Sink your teeth into doing something for God. Become a bulldog. Hey, become a bulldog, bus captain. Brother Keith Leonard was coming across the parking lot this morning. I said, Brother Leonard, how'd it go on your bus route this morning? And he just got a, really started up a, what might be we could consider a new route out in Winchester. How many did you have this morning, Keith? 39. Woo! Look at that. He just basically got her off the road. And you know what? Right there's a fellow that's a bulldog bus captain. He said, I'm not going to piddle. I'm not going to play around. We're talking about the souls of the men. He said, all them bus kids, those bus kids will always be welcome here. They are souls for which Jesus Christ died, and you're not better than them. Souls have no economic value. Souls have no color. And let me tell you, we ought to become bulldog. Be a bulldog bus captain. Be a bulldog Sunday school teacher. I say this and it really irritates people, but I say it anyway. You say, I can't get that Sunday school class going. Give it to me. It can't be done. Give it to me. But that's not fair, Brother Owens. Why? My feet stink just like yours. Matter of fact, mine probably stink worse. I know yours do. I'm a human being. I just built the old sinner saved by grace. That's all. Thank you. I got a lot of amen on that one. And don't put your tail between your legs and think, well, I'm going to run then. No! Step up! You grab a hold of that shoe of your Sunday school class and stuff, and you say, I'm building this thing. Me and God are going to covet together, and I'm going to pray, and I'll fast, and I'll visit, and I'll soul win, and I'll study, and I'll prepare, and I'll make this Sunday school class all it can be. All it can be. What am I talking about? Become a bulldog Sunday school teacher. Become a bulldog kind of a bus captain. Hey, soul winner, be a bulldog. Boy, I love it. The other day I was driving, and I seen Joe Cowling all by himself. Had somebody cornered on the side of the road. I didn't know how I got him. His car was pulled over and Joe had somebody cornered. Tell him about Jesus. I could almost hear it. Had his teeth clamped around a lost soul and he wasn't going to let it go until he won him to Jesus Christ. God bless you, Brother Joe. God bless those of you. Hey, where's Ray MacArthur Jr.? Right down here is Ray. We were giving testimonies in prayer meeting yesterday morning and we just started talking about what God had done and Raymond said, went soul winning the other night on Thursday night, had three saved. Amen! Amen! Grab a hold of that thing. Grab a hold of that thing and make something happen. But you know what we do? We dabble. We piddle. Is there a heaven? Is there a hell? Well, why don't you ever tell anybody about Jesus? I'm not talking about you saying, Jesus. I'm talking about you telling them about heaven and hell. Tell them how to be saved. Oh, be a bulldog and sink your teeth into your service for God. Some of you need to get involved. We have in the local New Testament church of this generation an abundance of spectators. We need participators. You know, I love watching our guys play ball last night. I loved it. I loved it. I loved it. I loved it. I'll tell you why. Because what we do with our whole heart. I love watching the little ones. I love watching the teenagers. I love watching the old fat man. It was great. I mean, I love watching it. Why? Because they were sweating, and they were digging in, and they wanted to win, and they wanted it so bad they could feel it. They were disappointed when it didn't happen. Hey, when was the last time you did anything for God where you dug in, and you were sweating, and you were hurting, and you were digging, and you had to make something happen, and if you didn't get it, you were disappointed? When was the last time? We have the absence of a drive and a determination that says, I want to get something done for God. I want to serve God. Sink your teeth into that old shoe and don't let go. You're sitting on the sideline in the kitty litter when you need to come out on the front porch and start running with the big dogs. Sink your teeth into that thing. Decide to serve God. And let me remind you, if you're alive and breathing air today, God left you on this earth for a reason, and it wasn't to watch TV and eat potato chips. God left you here. He got you in an old-fashioned, soul-winning, fundamental Baptist church to make something happen. Now you need to, hey, look, it's not our job to pull you in the wagon behind the church. It is your job to get out and help us push. So all you do is ride. All you do is ride. You come to church, you hop in a little red wagon, and all the people that love God or serving God are pulling you. And you love the ride. Come on out and start helping us. Come on out and start telling people about Jesus. Hey, decide to sink your teeth into a ministry for God. Hey, like a bulldog, some of you need to sink your teeth into paying off some of your bad debt. Now, I don't think all debt is bad. I don't think that. But I do know this. I think some of you have some bad debt. I think some of you borrowed with your heart. I think some of you borrowed. Hey, the banker said, you're good to up to $300,000. And you and your wife went, whoa! We're rich! No, you're not. You're a sucker. The banker is rich. Why? He's seeing you coming. Because it only took 1 month, and then they told you, you won't have any payment for the first month, and you're going, whoa, baby. You remember it? But the first payment came. And then you went, oh, mama. And you've been struggling ever since. You said, but Brother Owens, I want that big fancy home. I want to tell you something. We're only going to last down here for 70 or 80 years. But God said, I'm building you a mansion. And one day you're going to get that permanent residence. And it's going to beat everything that this whole world can offer you. But some of you have yourselves miserable. You can't even come to church because you're working. And you're trying to make money to pay all those bills. Hey, it's time for some of you to say, I'm going to sink my teeth into paying off some of that debt. And paying it off. And showing up for church. And getting involved. For some of you, it's a vicious cycle. I'm for you having a house. If you've all been around here, I teach you, you need to put some money away for retirement. Think you ought to buy a house, get it paid off. I'm for that. You won't hear me asking you to mortgage your homes to pay for this church. I'm not going to do it. Why? I love you. I won't stay here till we all grow old together. And, hey, we're all old codgers and we're spitting and whittling on the front porch. I want you to be secure. That's what I want for you. But I'm telling you, if some of you don't sink your teeth into that old shoe of paying off some of that bad debt, you're going to destroy yourselves. I preached this sermon once and been many, many, many years ago. And I said, you know something? If I ever start a church, I'm going to call it the Bulldog Baptist Church. Yeah, the Bulldog Baptist Church. I got to tell you this. About 2 years ago, I preached at a great big conference. About 7,000 or 8,000 people were there. And about 2 years ago, a family came to visit our church. Their son had been at that conference 8 or 10 years ago when I preached a sermon almost like this. He heard me say, if I ever start me a church, I'm going to call it the Bulldog Baptist Church. That little boy, hey, mom and dad said he goes to sleep every night with the Bulldog story. He's got a tape player in his room. Hey, we don't read him bedtime stories. He gets bedtime sermon by Brother Owens on the Bulldog. every night. That boy puts that tape player on, said he can quote it verbatim. He can preach that entire sermon. He's about 7 or 8 years old at this point. They came to visit our church. This little boy was cranked up. He was wound up. He was so excited. He was coming to Brother Owen's church. He's going to West Virginia. And when they got there, they came out front. The little boy said, "This ain't it. Mama, this ain't it." She said, "This is it." Brought him in here. Went all the way through the church service. On the way home, he was crying. He was crying. His mother said, "Son, what in the world is wrong with you?" He said, "Dad, this way I'm confused." Brother Owen said his church's name was going to be Bulldog Baptist. And this ain't Bulldog Baptist. Hey, let me tell you something, folks. We may have the name Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church, but if you'll look at a sub-clause or a sub-name there, let's be called a bunch of bulldogs for Jesus. Let's not let the devil scare us out of serving God. I know we live in a day and age where everybody's liberalizing and going to the left and going backwards and turning on the old-time ways, but we need a church where the people in the church lock on to the old-time ways and say, "I'll be a bulldog. I'm not letting go. I'm not." Hey, if the other churches in the area criticize us, don't you let go. If your family members tease you, don't let go. If people across the country look down on us, don't let go. Hey, I'm clamped on to the old-time religion. I don't plan to be shook off. Bulldog. Be a bulldog. Hey, like a bulldog, some of you need to sink your teeth into conquering your sin. Really, it's time for some of you to change. It's time for you to change. Stop it. Say, stop what? I don't have to call the roll. Holy Spirit will take care of that. Stop it. You've heard enough preaching about what is sin and what is not, and it's time for some of you to listen to the conscience that God gave you and the historical preaching that God has given you, and it's time for you to clamp on to the new life in Christ Jesus and decide to live right. Stop your sin. Clamp on to that thing. Clamp on to it like a bulldog. It's time for you to change your life. Thank God, yesterday morning in our men's prayer meeting, had a man that said this, and I'll tell you who. But he said this, he said, "Brother Owens, just want to testify." Said, 2 years ago this weekend, I came to this church. I got right with God. He said, "And in the last 2 years, I haven't put a drink of beer or whiskey to my mouth. I've stopped it." He said, "I haven't had snuff in my mouth one time in the last 2 years. What that man doing was glorifying God. But let me tell you something. 2 years ago, that old boy had enough drive inside him and enough character inside him. He grabbed a hold of that shoe and he said, 'I am going to change. I'm going to do this.'" And hey, it is not a lack on God's part. God is available and willing to help you conquer anything you want to conquer. God's already made His move in this chess game. He's waiting on you. God is saying to you, "I'll help you clamp onto that thing. I'll give you victory in Jesus. I'm going to help you, and you can change if you want to change." He said, "Take your mouth, open it up, clamp on to that thing, and don't let go. Don't let go. It's time for some of you to change your life. Let today be the first day of the rest of your victorious life." Listen, folks, I'm going to tell you something. For 16 years of my life, I was not in church. I'd never been in a fundamental Baptist church in my life until I was in the latter year, my 15th year, early in my 16th year. I knew nothing about fundamentalism. I knew nothing about the Bible. I knew nothing about God. I knew nothing about church. I knew nothing about salvation. There's one thing that I can tell you. You will not passively change your life. You will either attack or be attacked. You will either grab hold of righteousness and clamp onto it with everything that you're worth and fight like there's no tomorrow, or you won't get your life changed. Piddling Christians don't succeed like they're supposed to succeed. That's all there is to it. Ask anybody if they ever changed their life. There come a day when they had to look that thing right square in the eyeball and say, "That's it, I've had it with you. I've had it. You've stolen from me. You've weakened me. You've shared me. You've caused me to retreat. And I've just about had it. Lord, you and I together, we're going to take the old me on. And we're going to rise up and conquer." You clamp your teeth into that old shoe. There are some of you, you're doing no more for God today than what you were 10 years ago. Why? Piddle. Grab that shoe. Grab it. The devil tries to shake it out of your mouth. You say, you're not getting that out of my mouth. He'll try to knock it out of your mouth. Good night, devil, knock the snot out of you. Push. Hang on. Push. Hang on. Hang on. Hang on. You can thank God Jesus hung on. They beat him to a pulp and he said, I'm not letting go. I'm hanging on to this old cross, and when the moment comes, I'll let go and I'll resurrect, but for the time being, I'll carry my cross. And thank God he didn't let go. He could have packed up and walked. He could have found it. He could have said, you know what, I'll find an easier church. I'm turning butter. Like a bulldog, sink your teeth into conquering your sin. Like a bulldog, somebody needs to sink your teeth into your soul winning. Decide you're going to win some people to Christ. Get them to church. Get them down the aisle. Get them into your Sunday school class. Win them to Christ. Do it. Make it happen. We had a dog. My wife and I were married many, many years ago. It was a wiener dog. His name was Mitzi. Mitzi the wiener dog. Me and Mitzi were not best friends. If I'm going to have a dog, I want a dog that looks like a dog, walks like a dog, talks like a dog, barks like a dog. I don't want a dog that looks like a wiener. Mrs. Owen says the character flaw was mine. I say the character flaw was Mitzi's. I could walk in the room. Mitzi would cower and wet. That's just like some of you come to church. There he is. He makes me face myself. Let me tell you something. Some of you are like that wiener dog when it comes to telling others about Jesus Christ. You cower, you run, and then you virtually embarrass yourself because you should have stood up for the Jesus that saved you. Instead of being like that wiener dog, you ought to be a bulldog. You don't have anything to be ashamed of. You serve the God of the universe. Let me tell you something, folks. We're on the winning side. Don't you be afraid of them. I've read the last chapter of the book, and we win. We win. We win. On the other end of this battle, we're going to be the victors. Hey, I've got victory in Jesus. We're scared to death to tell the people we work with, the people we go to school with, the people that live next door to us, that we're Christians, and that they need to be saved. Why? Be afraid. You are in the majority. You say, how's that? Me and God make a majority. Oh, yeah. Like a bulldog. It's time for some of you to sink your teeth in that shoe of soul winning. So you know you can't pay someone to do your soul winning for you. You personally have to do some soul winning. Now, thank God for everybody that gives the missions. You ought to. But there's somebody that God left you here on this earth for you to win. For you to win. That's why you're here. You look at the greatest cause for humanity. It is the saving of the souls of men. If God left you behind, He wanted you to keep somebody out of hell, and it's the responsibility of every Christian to tell somebody about Jesus. Hey, like the bulldog, some of you need to sink your teeth into that separated life and give your all. Decide to be different. Don't be ashamed to be separated. We have too many chihuahuas. Too many Christian chihuahuas. Now, if you have a chihuahua, I love your doggy, okay? Chihuahuas, when they bark, they go, chee, chee. Chee, chee. Chee, chee. You know how a bulldog barks? He goes, woof. He goes his whole body, uses his diaphragm. Amen, choir? Wolf! Here's you. And then you soil yourself. What's wrong with us? We don't have anything to be ashamed of. We don't have any reason to cower. You know what? I need some young people in my youth department to rise up and say, let's make something happen for God. I don't want to be average. I don't want to be halfway committed. I want to do something for God. I want God to use me. I want to be different. Like a bulldog. Sink your teeth into something great. Like a bulldog. Some of you need to sink your teeth into this sermon. Don't let this sermon be your moment of motivation for the day. Make it a life-changing sermon. Let it haunt you. Don't try to shut it out. Stop making it a personal issue between you and me. And how about let the Holy Spirit of God that's dicing you up from the inside out realize it is He that is talking to you about the fact that you don't have the drive as a Christian that you ought to have, and you live in a part of a weak-kneed society and you've adjusted to it. Hey, let's not adjust to this society. Let's be different. Like a bulldog, sink your teeth into this sermon. Some of you need to get it on CD and listen to it over and over and over and over again. Like that little boy. Some of you need to go to sleep at night and listen to it so you can get some tenacity about you. Tenacity. Tenacity. And learn, hey, learn to take this sermon like you do your pill that calms you down. When all the struggles of life come upon you, get you a sermon out, let the gospel give you the courage to go on. Let the preaching of the Word of God give you that courage. Let this sermon change you forever. Those of you that are half in and half out, won't you just get all the way in? Stop playing church. There's a story in the Bible, and I'll be finished. A story in the Bible found in 2 Samuel chapter 23 about a man named Eleazar. He was one of David's mighty men. Eleazar and David's mighty men were fighting against the Philistines. Now the Philistines is a tribe from which Goliath of Gath came. Goliath was probably 9 foot 9 inches tall. These Philistines were monstrous people and they were the enemy of God. Eleazar was fighting for the cause of Christ. They're at war all day long. I'm talking about hand-to-hand combat, not a gun. We're talking about swords, shields, spears. Eleazar was one tough dog. He had fought viciously and valiantly all day long from the time the sun came up till the time the sun went down. And if any of you have ever wrestled on a wrestling match and given your all for 3 or 4 minutes, it'll wear you out. This man fought hand-to-hand combat from sun up to sundown. And it wasn't a game where you got pinned and we all went home happy. It was for his life. They wanted to cut his arms off, his legs off, and shove a spear through his heart. Fought all day. Had that sword in his hand. Fought all day. When the battle was over that day, he stumbled to his tent as he went back to the camp. He had his hand wrapped around that sword. When he got back to his tent, the Bible says he had fought all day with that sword and there was blood all over the sword and the part of his uniform that covered his right arm was covered with blood. Looked like he had a royal red garment on, but it was covered with blood because he fought all day long. He had that sword in his hand and he went over to the table by his bunk and he went to lay that sword down. But he had a Charlie horse in his hand and his arm because he clamped onto that sword so tight. He couldn't get the sword to let loose. His hand was wrapped around the handle of that sword. He tried to pry his fingers off of it with his left hand, but he could not. He was clamped around that sword because he had fought so viciously and valiantly all day long. He said to the guy that bunked with him, he said, "Hey, man, you're going to have to help me." He said, "You're going to have to pry this thing out of my hand." And the Bible says that his hand clave to the sword. He had fought so hard, you couldn't even tell the difference between his hand and that sword. He didn't let go. Let me say to all of you, I have in my hand a sword. I have the sword of the Word of God, and I challenge you to be like Eleazar of old. You grab hold. You grab hold of that sword and you fight the devil. And you fight Him for everything that you're worth. And it's time for some of you to quit watching everybody else fight and get in the fight. It's time for some of you to show up around here and make something happen. It's time for some of you to take that sword and fight the sin in your life and fight the devil and fight off the bad crowd. You get that sword in your hand and you clamp onto it and you don't let go. And the devil hits you and you say, I'm not letting go. And the devil hits you again and you say, I'm not backing off. I'm going to keep on moving forward. I'm going to keep on serving God. I'll be at church. I'll make something happen. I'll keep people out of hell. And He'll hit you. And He'll hit you. But I'll make you a promise one of these days. We're going to have victory in Jesus. We may go into heaven a little bit beat up, but we're going in. Grab hold. Grab hold. If you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you don't even have to grab hold. All you have to do is let go and let Him be God. You're a sinner. Jesus died for sinners. His death, burial, and resurrection was to pay for your sin debt. If you'll simply turn to Him and say, Jesus, I'm a sinner and I'm on my way to hell. I want You to come into my heart and be my Savior. He'll forgive you of your sin, come into your heart and save you. And you can do something for God. But you need to be saved first. If you're not saved, I invite you to the Savior. If you are saved, would you get some bulldog about you? Sink your teeth into the right things. And don't let go. No matter what comes your way. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed. Every eye closed.